Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. That over there is Maria. And today's topic is going to be all about snow. So if you guys have watched the show before, we pick a topic, we scour the internet, we find all the fun things we can find about it. We put it on a Word document, and we bring it to you guys here, and we chat about it.
And we sprinkle it to you.
Yes, yes. And we have some fun with it. Mar, how you doing today? How was your search? What's going on?
It was a lot of fun because there is so much ways to look into snow and the uses of snow and things like that. So I had a lot of fun finding some interesting things about it.
Okay. Okay. What, I mean, do you want to kick us off with like the first one, or do you want to tell us a story about the first snow that you came in contact with as a child? What would you like to do, Mar? It's your show for the moment.
Actually, I want to go straight to some crazy stuff that I found about snow.
Okay.
So we'll go right into it. So when they were recording The Wizard of Oz, if you see there's a scene where there's some snow.
Okay.
Well, actually, that was not like little soap or little sprinkles of confetti. No, it was actually 100% asbestos. And we all know how dangerous asbestos is.
Yes, that is what they used to make fake snow out of back in the day. Popcorn ceilings and fake snow is basically like the two fire retardant stuff also, but those are like the two main, three main things asbestos was used for. Yeah, not good.
No, okay. So I wanted to bring that like, okay, there's some really cool things about snow. That was a crazy one.
Cool things about snow. I see what you did there, Maria. That was very clever, very clever. Okay, so this doesn't surprise me, but it's also a little surprising. 2/3 of the world's population has never seen snow, which was surprising to me. But equally surprising, even of those that have seen snow, they didn't necessarily know what it was. Because the tribesmen that can actually see Mount Kilimanjaro, if you guys know in Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro is snow-topped year-round. But if you're a tribesman, you're not on the mountain, you're in the plains, but it's so tall, you can see it for miles and miles and miles away. Well, they actually thought it was topped with salt because they had no reference of what snow even was to say it was this other thing. So the tribesmen of Mount Kilimanjaro, they're part of the 1/3 that have seen snow and they didn't even know what it was. They thought it was salt.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I actually found, speaking of composition and snow, they actually found that because of the deposition and compaction of the layers that are formed, that form snowflakes, glacier ice is actually more consistent with limestone, like looks similar to limestone than it actually does to water. So if you think of an ice cube, it's very different than when you look and open your refrigerator and layers of frost have accumulated.
Yeah.
So that's why it looks more similar as a formation to limestone than to ice cubes.
So this one won't pertain to very many people, but if you do ever want to become an ice block entrepreneur, yes, this isn't something that exists anymore these days, but before there was freezers and all that stuff, there were ice blocks were like a big, big industry. They would put them on trains, take them out to the desert, and such big pieces, they would just melt slowly. Well, along the lines of what Maria just said, the best ice to try to get ice blocks from is something that came from a one-time freeze. If you get it from something that's been layered, so like one winter it froze and it didn't thaw all the way, like if you're in higher elevations, sometimes snow stays. Or you get multiple snows over the season, so by the end of the season, you go, okay, now it's 4 feet thick, we can cut it. You want it in one piece, one snow, because if not, for exactly the reason Maria said, it ends up like limestone, where it kind of comes off in layers, and then it melts at different rates. And so if you ever want to become an ice block merchant, one-time freeze product, people, then you
so usually that will come from open lakes. Like if you actually watch the movie Frozen, you will see one of the scenes, they're picking ice. I think it's that movie. Or there's one of the Disney movies that they literally are picking ice, mm-hmm. cutting it and picking it. So that's basically it.
Yeah, I just pictured A Million Ways to Die in the West, one of my favorite movies. There's an ice block scene there. You guys, I won't describe it, but
you get the idea.
By the title of the film, yes, okay.
So they actually found a very unique snow called watermelon snow. And it's actually found in La Sierra Nevada of California, the California mountains. And that's because some algae that makes this snow turn pink. The algae turns the water a little pink, and it actually smells a little bit like watermelon.
Interesting.
How cool is that?
Probably not safe to eat. If it smells like watermelon, I'd still... Pink snow, treat like yellow snow, just in case. Don't eat it.
No touchy-touchy.
I've talked about this before when we were talking about England and how they have so many words for rain, because it's such a part of their weather patterns that you've got like heavy rain, light rain, rain with fog, rain with all that other good stuff. Well, you kind of have the same situation if you're an Eskimo, because your whole reality is snow and ice, etc. And they have over 50 words for different varieties of snow or situations of snow. That's when you know something is a big part of your life, when you got 50 words for it.
I love that. Because also consistency, texture, freezing points, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Wow.
When it comes down, how heavy it comes down, if the sun's up during the day versus at night, there's.
Which leads me to a point I have way down, but I found it, so I'm going to talk about it. So speaking of snow, and when you think of people who live in those areas, they build the igloo. They're really good at building igloos. They literally cut bricks and build an igloo. So there was a man in Sweden, a Swedish man, survived 2 months in a car that had been snowed over. 2 months. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he ate only snow. And because of the igloo effect, he actually was insulated. So he didn't freeze. He actually stayed warm. And that is the upper time a human can live without food was those two months. He probably had snacks, so he was able to live longer.
Something. If it's an old car, you got like leather seats, and it's like, okay, that counts if you really, really have to. Yeah. Mar, do you like heavy metal? Do you like heavy metal?
If we're talking about about like jewelry, then yes.
Oh, nice twist. I was thinking the music, and she led me into the jewelry, which is
like meteorite, yes, or copper. I think copper is my favorite. You probably see me wearing the bracelet all the time.
So if you're a heavy metal fan, you might want to go to Venus, though you wouldn't survive very long. But they have snow-capped mountains, and the snow is made of metal because of the makeup of their atmosphere, specifically on Venus.
Love it. So now you can actually listen to heavy metal while traveling to Venus.
While wearing heavy metal?
You're surrounded by metal, so you'll survive.
Right. Too far.
So there's something interesting here that I'm not sure if I've ever seen this or not. So maybe you can help me. But I read somewhere that there are some chains that you see under, like in the hanging from under school buses and trucks, and they're there to provide traction in snow. So like with the flip of a switch, the chains will lower automatically, and the centrifugal forces send the chains into action. So
okay, I guess that would make sense. I've seen it on buses, and they're usually attached to a rod. I didn't know that rod was actually attached to a motor or some kind of mechanism. But usually when you're trying to get out, at least I did a lot of off-roading when I was a kid. So when you're trying to get out, not a kid, but you know, when I was younger, when you're trying to get out of mud and stuff, you kind of need to go forward and back to where you can get traction. You're not digging yourself a hole. So that would make sense that if the chains were there, you could get them as a reverse assistance because they'd hit the ground then, and then you would reverse into them, which would then...
Yeah, but you'll think you'll pull the whole thing out.
Well, I think sometimes that's all you need is a little bit, because you don't have to go forward. You could go back. I don't know the mechanics of it, but I could see that working. Like, that makes sense. I don't know the exact function, like strategy for how to utilize them, but I'm sure if you're a bus driver in snowy weather, you're like, nope, I got this. So
I was very surprised when I read, because I don't think I've ever seen it in Michigan, and I didn't know. So anyway, it caught my attention, so I wanted to bring it up.
Okay. What melts faster, Mar? Dirty snow or white snow?
Dirty snow or white snow?
Yeah, you see the snow on the sides of a road when you have all the tire tread and all the gunk from the road. The snow right along the side of the road is usually like black or brown. It's got
okay, like I see what you're saying.
On it, and then you got your bright white, like freshly fallen snow, or just no dirt's gotten to it because it's under a tree. Which one do you think melts faster?
I'll give a second for the audience to think okay. about that. But I will actually think that the snow that will melt faster will be the white snow. Here's my theory.
Okay.
I could be completely wrong. But no, my theory has to do with if there is metal or stones, they'll hold the temperature more. Therefore, the snow will remain a little colder longer.
So you kind of had it. Yeah. But basically the way it goes, if you know anything about reflective properties and light and stuff like that, there's something called, I think it's Albion is the name of the measurement. This wasn't in the fact. I'm just trying to think back to college and stuff. But essentially, the darker something is, the more rays it absorbs. Something's
yes,
white
yeah.
because it's reflecting all the light. If something is bright white, the light's hitting it and it's reflecting all of it out. The darker something is, the more heat it retains. So basically, dirty snow melts faster because it's retaining more heat thanks to the coloring that's on it. It's not reflecting all the light away from it. So,
and yeah, I was thinking of the minerals in it that will retain the temperature. So I was going like, if there's stones and things like that, they'll retain the coldness.
That's all right.
So that was my theory.
But dirty usually isn't from rocks. It's usually just from sludge on the side of the road and mud and things like that. So what do you got, Mar?
So why do you think, this is a question I have. Why do you think when people throw water out in very cold weathers, why does it freeze? Have you seen when people throw water out and it freezes?
Oh, like in midair? Because it's that, when water stretches itself out, it gets really thin. So the surface area to be able to freeze becomes like millimeters thick. And if it's cold enough, then yeah, it would make sense. Because if something's... Go ahead.
Sorry. What people do is they throw boiling water.
Okay.
Boiling water out.
Yes.
And people think it's a magic trick, like, oh my gosh, it must be that cold that boiling water is freezing. But what happened is, as you said something about the maybe the thinness, and if it's cold, it'll freeze faster. But it has to do with the particles being more excitable. So they're, because of the heat, they're closer to condensation. So the molecules are very agitated, which allows for the coldness to enter sooner and boop, it freezes. So next time, if you guys are in a frozen part and it's been snowing a lot and it's very cold, throw boiling water. It's not magic. It's pure science.
Okay. I don't know where you're going to get that boiling water, but you figure out how to boil some water and you make sure you try that. That's fun, though.
When
yeah,
you're inside your house, you boil the water, go outside and throw it.
Okay. You said next time. I thought you said next time you're in a park. I'm like, okay, you're just hanging out in a park and you got boiling water. I'm very confused. What kind of park you hang? I guess Yosemite, you could just scoop up some of the things from the geysers and stuff that's already basically boiling, but you're not supposed to.
Don't get close to geysers.
Joking. Don't do it. You're right. PSA. Don't get close to geysers. Bad, 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 bad. Even if you think you know when they're going to go off, don't do it. Okay. Let's see.
Unless you're a monkey in Japan.
A whole different thing. Then you're dipping your water, your food in salt water to give it more flavor. And snow monkey life is totally different than human life. Let's see. Reindeer are one of the only mammals that can actually see UV light, which allows them to see the lichens and polar bears. Actually, they're able to see polar bears against white snow, and they can see urine trails. So the lichen essentially glows, so it helps them see things, track things, remember where things are. And then polar bears obviously usually can't see them. We talked about this in our bear video on Wild Chats, how polar bear's fur actually isn't white. It's actually clear. But again, like the snow, because of its hollowing clear, it's reflecting all of the light back, so it looks white to you. But they actually can't get picked up on thermal sensors either. But reindeer can see them. So I find that really interesting. And then I know that, and you had done a reindeer video on this channel. We talked about like them measuring distances by, wasn't it reindeer pee or something like that? Like how far a reindeer could pee or something. Check out the reindeer video. There's some interesting reindeer facts in there if you want the specific stuff. But
and it's not all about Christmas. Like the video, it's about the animal itself.
Yes. But it I find that interesting because that makes sense now. If they can see UV, they could track their pee trails. So it'd almost be like breadcrumbs for them because they're able to see it in the snow.
So instead of following the yellow brick road, they're following the yellow trail of snow.
The yellow line. Yes. Okay. Next, Maria.
I was tying it up with my Wizard of Oz.
Okay. I got
because of the wonderful things it does.
I got you.
So
with it in ancient Rome, there's lots of stuff you can do with it. Yes, we're aware. Very useful stuff.
So it's actually really interesting when you think of snow and when you think of the ecosystem and just nature itself. It's just so amazing. And a snowflake that falls on a glacier in Greenland. People think that Greenland is green. Iceland is green. Greenland is ice. Okay?
Yes.
So Greenland, icy, can take up to 200,000 years to actually reach the sea. Mm-hmm. So it lands on top. By the time it goes down, 200,000 years to get into the ocean.
So most people don't realize, technically, the Antarctic are actually deserts because deserts are defined by lack of rainfall. Those areas, that's leftover ice. That's been there forever. They actually get very, very little precipitation in those areas. So that would make sense that if something fell on the rare occasion it did to travel that far. Let's see. Did you know that in Sanskrit, the word Himalayas, as in the mountains, is translated to house of snow?
House? Okay.
House of snow. Well, it's a big mountain. There could be hollow things inside of it. I'm sure when they named it, they weren't able to climb it yet. We talked about the Mount Kilimanjaro. Sometimes you see something from far away. But house of snow, Sanskrit, Himalayan.
I thought it was in Tibetan. Land of snow is where I've read some of it.
The other one, they're close because I don't think Tibetan is Sanskrit, but essentially they developed.
Oh, because Tibet is known.
Yeah.
Not Tibetan. Okay. And it's interesting because it only snows like once or twice a year.
Yeah. Yeah. The country itself, its nickname is the Land of Snow, and it hardly ever snows there. Yeah, exactly. That's okay. Mount Kilimanjaro, salt. Just because something is named something, if it's been around long enough, I mean, we'll do a video on the Animal Channel one of these days of what animals used to be called. There's some really, really funny names and concepts of what animals, when people first came across them for the first time. Like people thought duck-billed platypuses were fake, and they called this animal like this other animal name, and there's a lot of interesting confusion. But then you hear, well, it was named in like the 300s, or it was named because one species specimen was brought to Rome. They didn't have any other reference point, and then it got named this thing. So,
but if you think about it, even going to within the same topic, they used to think the Yeti were real, like they were a mythical creature, but they were real. And what it seems to have been is there were some giant bears that were in that area that were white. Mm-hmm. I think you talked about it in the bear video that that people probably confused the Yeti with those because they weren't extinct. So
yeah, they're extinct polar bears. So we think of polar bears now in the north, and they're the only ones, but there actually were polar bears there in the regions where people see Yeti, or the stories of Yeti kind of just keep going through the ages. And they found a piece of hair tuft, or they were given a piece of hair tuft because it was saved, and they did genetic studies on them and found out that the DNA basically was of an extinct polar bear. So. Mm-hmm. Not saying that Yetis don't exist. I'm just saying in that example, there was a good scientific explanation for it.
So if you go hunting for a Yeti, you may find evidence of polar bears, ancient polar bears.
Yes. Yes. All right. Mara, is it you or is it me? Who's up?
I think it's me or you. Go. You go.
Okay. I'm going to go. Chinese ice cream. Invented. Milk mixture, rice, in snow.
Ice cones?
So the Chinese basically invented ice cream, and it was a mixture of milk and rice, and then they would pack the milk and rice into snow, which would then give it the creamy, well, not the creamy, clearly, because there's really no milk involved in that other than the snow particles would then mix with the milk and the rice, and then you would get a version of what is now ice cream. So there you are.
Wow, I love that.
That ice cream doesn't sound good to me.
No, but just the fact that it got created, to me, that's the fascinating part. Like, what you come up with?
Fireworks and ice cream. They definitely had some good inventions back in the day.
I actually have heard of something really interesting by an English physician. This English physician, his hypothesis was rejected because it was really weird, more towards the gross. And he's kind of peculiar because this English physician said, Jon Snow first proposed that cholera, the outbreaks were happening because people were drinking water that was contaminated. Okay. They didn't have good sewer systems, so there was no way to separate the drinking water from the black waters or the dirty waters. And his claim was rejected for a very, very long time because the public, you know, the people who took care of the public, they actually decided that it was too bad for the public to contemplate. So they ignored Mr. Jon Snow or Dr. Jon Snow. So the reason I'm bringing it up is because his last name was Snow.
Okay. And here I just thought it was a character on Game of Thrones, but Maria's never seen it, guys, so she probably may not have tied that together, that it's Jon Snow.
Maybe that's why they tied it together.
Maybe. There's a prequel coming out. All right. Biggest snowflake ever, Maria. But first, our lead-in. Snowflakes can take an hour to fall from the cloud all the way to the surface of the Earth. If you guys have seen a snowflake, it kind of meanders, takes its time, drifts. But probably not the biggest snowflake, because the biggest snowflake was actually reported by a rancher in Montana in 1887. It was 15 inches wide and 8 inches thick.
15 inches wide.
Yes. Yes, it sounds like an ice block that somebody threw at him because they didn't like him. I don't know how that qualifies as a snowflake, but apparently that is the record. 15 inches wide, 8 inches thick, snowflake, Montana, 88.
I bet you somebody was playing ice frisbee.
Something, yeah. It's like, come on, what? How is that? That's not a snowflake. And I definitely don't think that took an hour to get to the ground. I wouldn't want to be standing underneath that one.
No, because of the, even though gravity is the same, just the fact that it doesn't have any...
Yeah, it's not
dream properties.
It's coming straight down. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It is. So scientists have created a device that could actually help us with electrical issues. So now you don't collect electricity only from wind or solar or water or nuclear and all those. Actually, scientists came up with a device made out of a sheet of plastic, flexible plastic, that can actually collect electricity from snowfalls.
Okay.
The reason is snow is positively charged and gives up electrons, and silicone is negatively charged. So the reaction will accept the electrons, and when it lands, when the positive electrons land into the silicone, it actually produces a charge. Okay. And they can actually capture it.
All right.
I thought that was fascinating.
It is cool. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the amount of research and stuff that we can find out. We just got to be able to do the research to figure it out. Trivia time, Mar?
Let's do it.
Okay. Record snowfall in a single snowstorm. You can either guess where it happened or how much snowfall it was. Your choice.
So it's not going to be 18 inches. The first time I got caught in Michigan where the snow was 18 inches and I about
United
died.
United States too. Yeah, not worldwide. We're going to go just United States.
Okay. What state will I consider to be very snowy? I'm going to go with Vermont.
Okay.
No idea. I was being...
Okay. And now you're gonna say Michigan. How much snow do you think fell in possibly Vermont, possibly opposite coast?
I know in Michigan in the 70s, in 78, There was several, like seven, no, it was almost 10 feet of snow in a blizzard. But I assume that's not the highest record.
Nope. The record occurred in California, opposite coast, Mount Shasta Ski Bowl, 15 3/4 feet of snow. And California's known for that. They get blasted. They get nothing, and then they get everything all at once. So where Vermont and the East Coast, you'll have heavy storms, but it's not like it's been saving itself up for like 6 months and then you just get blasted. So that kind of makes sense to me that it would be, I would have guessed somewhere like Washington, Oregon, Northern California. So that's that one. Do you have any fun trivia questions, Maria?
Yes. First of all, do you think, yes or no, and then we'll elaborate, how far south or north do mosquitoes, how far can they live? What's the farthest they can live?
I did some research on this.
Okay.
I don't know the exact location, but I will give everybody out there a couple seconds to come up with their own answers. What would you think, or what would you have experienced? Anybody that lives in Canada or something will have an opinion on this for sure. Possibly the Scandinavian countries. I know that they can live in icy environments. So I'm actually going to go all the way and say like the Arctic, like Antarctic. Okay. Or Arctic.
Love it. Love it. Well, they actually, well, this the people say that the stage bird of Michigan, even though it's not a bird, is the mosquitoes because they're so big.
Oh, ours in Vegas was the crane because they're always building something. So mosquitoes in Michigan, cranes, mechanical cranes in Vegas. Yes.
But anyway, mosquitoes in the Arctic, hatch when the snow thaws, sometimes making such large swarms that they actually blot out the sun. Can you imagine? Getting attacked there, like no thank you, bye.
Your blood doesn't have to not be attractive to mosquitoes. It just has to be less attractive than the guy next to you. Oh, that's when you're running away from a polar bear being faster than the guy next to you.
Or a crocodile. Or
yeah, okay. You want one more, Mar?
Go ahead, you.
Okay, one last one. Do you want something about snowmen or something about snowflakes? Take your pick.
Snowman, we did snowflake.
Okay, I got another good snowflakey one. But snowman.
Okay, then snowflakey.
World's tallest snowman.
Tallest snowman.
Tallest.
Do I have to guess where he was from or who made it? Or?
You can if you want to, but you can just go with how tall it was.
I'm going to say it was probably two-story high.
Two-story high, Maria's going to go something around 20 feet, 20 to 25 feet, Maria's guessing. If you were to take that number and multiply it by 5, you would have basically been there. 122 feet and 1 inch, because these things are important for records. Thing weighed 13 million pounds, because snow is heavy, guys. You know this. Once you start packing, to pack it dense enough to stack to get up to 122 feet, you know how heavy that thing had to be.
Wow, I cannot imagine.
Do you have another quick one, or you want my last one real fast?
Last one. Go for it.
All right. It's a myth that no two snowflakes are alike. There's actually a limited number of shapes that they can form in. Maria, don't answer it right away so everybody else has time to guess. How many shapes do you think are possible for a snowflake?
I'm actually so proud of myself.
Okay. Marmar, tell the audience what the right answer is. Possibly.
So there are actually 35 different shapes of snowflakes, which I was mind-boggled by that because I honestly thought there would be more.
There you go, guys. Hopefully you guys had fun with the questions. Let us know if you're still enjoying this segment. I think you guys are. It gives you an opportunity to kind of interact or realize how smart or not smart we are. So hit the subscribe button, guys, if you haven't. Follow us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. We really appreciate it. Leave us some comments so we know how we're doing. And we can take in your tips also. If you guys are Patreon subscribers, jump on over. We're going to start the after show now. And for everybody else, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.